Well, hello, podcast community. I am Nick Serbling. Glad to be here with you. This hour coming up is going to be the power of sports podcasting. Sports podcasting is big in podcasting, so don't sleep on us just because we talk about sports. We do have a good message to send, and we do know a lot about podcasting. So I'm excited to be joined here shortly by Corey Finneran from IVEnvy.com, Jay Soderberg, also known as Pod Vader. He is from Blog Talk Radio, formerly of ESPN Podcasts, and of course, Jason Bryant from Matt Talk Online. Of course, still trying to learn how to do this blab stuff, so I will do my best to, make them guest hosts. I'm going to try and edit the topic. Of course, it's not letting me do any of that, which is not very helpful. Maybe people can, never mind. They're already doing it for me. Thank you, International Podcast Day. Okay, so since I'm a new Blab user, how do I get to the point where I can add co-hosts? There we go. That's good. I'm going to lock the C here. I need, is Corey Finneran in here? Hey, Jason, what's happening?
Hey, long time no see.
Yeah, long time no see is exactly right. So, While I get our other guests in here, why don't you tell folks in there in here what it is that you do as far as sports podcasting?
My sports niche is the wonderful world of college and Olympic level wrestling. So those of you that have kind of heard the podcast space, I've been on a couple shows talking about it. But this is not a jab at professionals. You know, it's not scripted. It's this kind of it's. You know, I hate to use the term real to not make a shot at the pro wrestling community, but, this is the stuff that the ultimate goals here. If you're in college is an NCAA Division I championship. If you're wrestling internationally, it's a world or Olympic championship. So I cover that 24/7. That's kind of my deal. And I have a number of shows that talk about college wrestling and Olympic level wrestling, even high school wrestling. So and when I say a number right now, I'm currently at 12 shows and growing.
Awesome. Let's see here. I'm going to try and get, here's Corey. I'm going to add him as well. Corey is, obviously super busy at the moment with his Chicago Cubs being finally good.
Don't worry. Corey. It won't last.
Right. We're set up for years to come.
Yeah. I'm bringing in Steve Bartman just for the playoffs for you guys.
You don't have a goat walking around behind you or
I am in Minnesota. That is a possibility. Actually, you're out in more farmland than I, you've probably got goats.
No, close, but no.
Nobody in here but us chickens.
Right.
Awesome. So Corey, tell folks about IVMV.
Yeah, so IVMV is a Chicago Cubs podcast, and we've been doing it. This is our seventh season, and if you pay attention to sports or baseball at all, you know that this has been those seven. The previous six seasons were the worst in the history of an organization that's been around since 1876. So historically bad. But now things are going well. And I feel like it was kind of an opportunity. You know, I think we took advantage of the opportunity of podcasting through a really poor time in that organization, because now we can reap the benefits of a good team. And we've gone through all of our podcasting, bumps in the road and learning opportunities and everything. So that's what we do.
Well, we're glad to have you on board here for International Podcast Day and this hour. Before we dive in deeper in regards to our topic for the hour, I just want to take this time and say International Podcast Day would like to thank our platinum sponsors, Podcasters Paradise, our gold sponsors, Appendipity and Spreaker, and our silver sponsors, Simple Podcast Press, Ringer, and Scatter Radio. Without their support, International Podcast Day would not be possible. Find all the information and special discount codes for these sponsors at internationalpodcastday.com/supporters. And we thank them for their support of International Podcast Day. What a great day. And last year was the first year for International Podcast Day. It was a success then. It's already a success now. It kicked off a little over 12 hours ago over in Australia. And here we are. It's 11 o'clock Eastern. We've got folks represented all around the world on this blab. It's been a lot of fun. So Corey, you are not in your home studio. Where are you currently at? What are you doing right now?
I'm at work, and I am actually preparing for a presentation that I am giving to special education administrators in a school it's at a conference tomorrow in Chicago, and I'm presenting on podcasting. So it works out kind of well. I'm celebrating International Podcasting Day by preparing for a presentation on podcasting.
How about you, Jason? You're obviously there at your home studio.
Yeah, this is the home office of Matt Talk Online. If you look behind me, there's various wrestling posters. And I think at last count, I have like 50 autographs from Olympians or world medalists here. So that's pretty much where I work from heavily. I haven't built my home studio just yet. When I say build it, I've actually got a wall over here that will eventually be a speakeasy. There will be a hidden door, and in it will be my bar and my studio and my little all the stuff that my wife and I share this office when she works from home. So she wants all this wrestling stuff off the walls, because right now the only thing on this wall that's hers is her marathon finish. That's about it. So I'll eventually move my studio into there. So I pretty much sit in this chair way too much. This Fitbit makes me get off my butt and actually do some stuff. Otherwise I'd only be maybe getting 500 steps a day, because I sit here and I'm putting out 6 podcasts today. So for International Podcast Day. And one thing, Nick, too, I know that this isn't in the ad verbiage, but both SPNT and Matt Talk Online are our bronze level sponsors of International Podcast Day.
That's right.
Shameless plug. And, you know,
of course.
We're all rocking it. Corey. Hey, man, we're all wearing the same shirt.
Do we and just our best last friends? our last but not least, panelists here on this hour of the Blab, we're pleased to welcome Jay Soderberg, also known as Pod Vader, formerly of ESPN Podcast, now the main guy, the bigwig over at Blog Talk Radio, sporting his New England Patriots, the Flakegate Championship hat. I'm just kidding, Jay. We are glad to have you with us. Welcome to and happy International Podcast Day, man.
Happy International Podcast Day to everyone in the world out there. How fantastic to be here. Sorry I'm late. I was actually recording something for my podcast with an international host. So I made it a nice International Podcast Day, international flavor.
Good. Awesome.
We should give that man folks, props for that. Give that man props for that.
Give me some more of those hands or whatever I got going on down there.
Let's not make this a competition, because I got some props of my own. 4 props like this.
Nice. Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
All right.
This is my first time actually being active on Blab. I don't even know how this thing works.
Well, you're doing just fine. It seems like it's working just great. Tell folks about what you do with podcasting and how you got started and where you're at now, because you're doing some great things with podcasting, Jay.
Well, I'm trying to do some great things with podcasting, that's for sure. I am currently the head of content at Blog Talk Radio. So I am overseeing the content and helping content creators on our platform. There's over 10,000 content creators right now, and we're looking to grab some more. We're sort of the all-in-one podcast shop, and my job is to sort of share what I've learned over the years in podcasting and help people create better content. Not that they don't have great content already, but just, you know, certain things that they might not even realize they didn't even know, or things that they did know and they were doing, but weren't just, you know, effectively producing. So that's sort of my job at the current time. I'm also the host of a football podcast called Next Fan Up. We have a fan that represents each of the 32 NFL teams. That show is like herding cats, and I'm herding the cats tremendously today as our first international NFL game is happening this Sunday. And it's in England. And so I have all of our England super fans. We have 3 of them on the show this week. And I just finished recording an interview with Nat Coombs, who's a broadcaster, or as they like to say, a presenter over in England. We had a nice chat about the NFL in England. So be looking forward to that.
Yeah. Speaking of international, obviously the National Football League, which I would say the 4 of us are pretty strong fans of. Corey, obviously, the Bears are having a rough time right now. Jason's a Bucks fan. Again, they had high hopes, and they've kind of fallen on their faces. But, Jay, your team and my team are one of the 2 teams battling it out there in the AFC, both undefeated at the moment. And the Patriots are looking quite dominant right now, early on.
I'd say I would be worried if it wasn't for the fact that your team chokes in the playoffs. That's pretty much what I'm looking forward to.
Well, we won't play you in the playoffs because we're normally out by then.
No, you're going to make the playoffs. You're going to be in there.
No, no, no. I mean, we lose in the first round where have a first round bye.
Oh, that's
so right.
Yeah. Well, how'd the Cubs do this year, Corey?
Spectacular. It's just amazing. It's really interesting when you can have the third best record in baseball and be in third place in your division. And it makes me really happy for this new system of the wild card play-in game and everything. I don't like the idea of one game deciding who moves on in the postseason just because baseball is it's based on series. But I guess if football, you can have a week off. It would be tough on, like, for instance, the Cardinals, who would be the first round, they would have the first spot. It would be tough for a baseball team to take that much time off for like an entire, even if it's a three game series before that NLDS, that would be pretty rough. So I understand why they do the one game thing, but I'm just loving it. They've been a lot of fun to watch, young team, and it's been exciting.
Talk about some of the things, obviously you've been doing IVNV for quite a while now. And this is really the first time in your years of doing the podcast that the Cubs have been, and I'm not trying to be mean about it, but it's the first time they've been good.
I know.
So talk about what you have done over the summer to help grow the podcast, and what kind of growth have you seen, and what kind of different techniques are you using with your podcast to get the fans involved?
We have seen quite a bit of growth this year. The actual last year was when we saw the most growth. And I think it's because a lot of fans, even if they weren't kind of on board or following this rebuild, you could kind of see, that those early draft picks were getting up to the higher levels of the minor league system. And so I think it was kind of on the horizon. People could see it coming. So our numbers really started going up quite a bit last year. But what we did with the podcast, we knew it was going to be a fun season. We didn't know it was going to be quite this fun. I was predicting like just slightly over 500 team, but instead they're obviously way over that. And so what we did was we decided that we would go from weekly episodes to two episodes a week. And so that way we could kind of do like a midweek episode to fall in between those series so that we would have an entire series to talk about on each episode. But it's just been a blast. And like I said earlier, I think podcasting through such a miserable time really benefited us because we had plenty of time to figure out who we were and figure out how to do this whole, just navigating all those issues that podcasters encounter. And so now when the general public is more interested in the Cubs and searching for a Cubs podcast, we're already there. We're already established. We've got, 350 some episodes under our belts. And so it's really benefited us.
Classy podcast in the chat says the Cubs will win this year if Back to the Future 2 has taught us nothing else. How often did you get that this summer?
I am so tired of it, but no offense. I'm just so tired of it. I don't want to hear anything about goats, Bartman, Back to the Future, curses, none of it. I don't want to hear anything about it. So I'm going to keep my rant to that right there. I could go much further, but I'll leave it there.
What about Harry Carey's ghost?
That was a fantastic 30 for 30, by the way. The whole thing behind Bartman, that was phenomenal. My son watched it and was like, whoa, what is this, Dad? And I was like, ha-ha, learn, son, learn.
Yes, when we went to Podcast Movement down in Fort Worth, we went to a pizza place in August. And as we walked in, they were showing that 30 for 30. I just can't get away from it. But
well, we were eating at a Chicago. We were eating at Uno's Pizzeria in Fort Worth, Texas. When in Texas, go to a Chicago pizzeria and enjoy some somewhat deep dish pizza. But yeah, that was funny when we walked in and saw that.
It was hilarious. It was great. It's like,
I'm glad you remember
that. It's like there's these Texans working in there and they're like, oh, we should have something Chicago related on TV. Oh, let's just do this Bartman documentary on, playing over and over.
We've always got to remind you of the glory days of the Cubs, man.
I'll never forget it. Trust me.
All right. Jason, You've done some pretty good things with your podcast lately. I know you've hosted multiple sports or wrestling podcasts, but I think you should tell people about the massive celebrity you just recently interviewed on your show.
His name is Jason Brown. Oh, wait, no, massive celebrity. Okay, yeah. Mario Lopez, who many might know as the athletic and dapper AC Slater, actually appeared on the Short Time Wrestling podcast a couple weeks ago. And the reason behind that is in my main show, my flagship show, Short Time, is it's a national type of news thing where it's relevant topics. It's, you know, it also goes into people that have wrestling backgrounds. And Mario Lopez, a lot of people might not know that the image of a wrestler that he played on Saved by the Bell, as campy as the wrestling scenes were, just kind of because that's kind of how Hollywood does wrestling. They don't get it. They don't know it. So it looks really crappy. But Mario actually was a high school wrestler. He was actually a pretty good wrestler in California. And, you know, a lot of if you're familiar with high school sports across the country, most states have different class levels. Like when I was in Virginia growing up, we were three classes, AAA, AA, single A. And then in California, though, there's one class for wrestling. So there's like 800 high schools, and you've got to be extremely good just to place at the state tournament. There are guys that go on to be NCAA All-Americans. Actually, let's talk the Patriots for a second. Stephen Neal, you know, he was a lineman for the Patriots for a while. Never played a down of college football. He is actually the guest on the mat today, which is a show on the network. So
you're getting some props.
Yeah. Stephen Neal, two-time national champion at Cal State Bakersfield, never played a down of college football. Best he ever did in the high school state tournament in California was fourth, and he placed four times at the national tournament and won two titles. So for Mario to place at the state tournament was a big deal his senior year. We talked about him going through acting. He would commute from where he's from, just south of San Diego in Chula Vista, up to Burbank. And, he went through the story of his senior year. Mark Paul Gosselaar, you know, cracked his ribs, and that pushed shooting back into the wrestling season. And Mario was really worried about being able to miss it. He actually wrestled up a weight class and still placed. The guy he lost to in the section finals ended up winning the state title that year. So, to get Mario on, it was a 5-month process. Because I reached out, got nothing, joined IMDb Pro, found an email for some representation. Then that email, I followed up, you know, obviously politely, and then got another email, and that was forwarded. And then it was just a back and forth. I think they thought I wanted to do it in person, like I was, you know, some, you know, fanboy trying to get a picture with Mario Lopez. No, I mean, I deal with Olympic champions.
Well, you every are.
Day. I deal with Olympic champions every day. Matter of fact, one of the shows I released today for International Podcast Day, 96 Olympic champ Kendall Cross is on that show. But with Mario, you know, once we figured out it was just a phoner, we got it set up. He had to reschedule once. I was kind of freaking out because I had promoted okay. We had him coming on. And the cool thing about him was obviously getting time with celebrities is always going to be a question because you don't know their time frame. I didn't put a time frame on how long I wanted him. I didn't want to put a restriction on it because as I learned with Matthew Modine when I had him on the show earlier this year to talk about the 30th anniversary of the release of Vision Quest. Yes, that movie came out 30 years ago, Jay. Don't we feel old? But Vision Quest, his agent said, you know, we blocked off 30 minutes, but Matthew likes to talk more. Maybe he'll go 45 to an hour. And we went about 45 minutes with Modine. And Mario, he was on the way to the airport. So that was the situation. He had to go through security, and he called me back. He wasn't like, all right, man, I got to go. He actually made the effort, called back, finished the conversation. So I know I appreciated that. He signed an autograph while he was on the air. He goes, hey, I'm talking about wrestling. And to hear him and a celebrity talk about something that, you know, people talk about boxing all the time because Mario has a podcast about boxing. I think it's called Three Knockdown Rule. I'm not a boxing guy, so I don't really listen to it. But, you know, to have him, you could hear it in his voice that he was really actually excited to talk about something he doesn't get asked a whole lot about. Howard Stern talked to him a little bit about MMA, and he goes, yeah, wrestling's a great sport. And, you know, Stern doesn't know much about wrestling, so we weren't going to go down that model. But, I got Mario for about 20, 25 minutes, and that was – you know, to date, it's him or Modine in terms of outside of the wrestling world. I mean, I've had multiple time Olympic and world champions on my show. But, you say Jordan Burroughs to folks at ESPN, they're like, what? You say Mario Lopez, like, oh, yeah. So, you know, there's a reach there. I was kind of interested, though. It's not the highest downloaded show I've had, believe it or not. Not even close.
Well, still, the fact that you got somebody as big as Mario Lopez, and we know him for his fame as AC Slater, and later on I guess he's the host of Extra or wasn't he on Dancing with the Stars or something like that too, I think.
Oh, and as far as the question in the chat room was, yeah, I did reach out on Twitter. I was all over. That's how I got Modine through Twitter. He just chance replied, said, here's my agent, or here's talk to this guy. Lopez has a million followers. on Twitter, close to me. And so, yeah, I was replying. I was saying, hey, what's your, you know, Twitter was not going to work with a guy like Mario Lopez. It did work with a guy like Matthew Modine.
Yeah, I think when it comes to reaching out to celebrity guests, it's always best to go through the agent. The agent will hook you up. And if you sell the agent, and if you really sell the agent on, you know, the fact that I want to talk to him about something that, you know, is something he doesn't get asked about a lot. I want to talk to him about his amateur wrestling career. That's going to be something that once it gets back to him, he's going to be like, oh, I definitely want to get in on that. Or he'll be like, I don't want to talk about that time in my life. I want to forget about that time in my life. I want no part of that. But going through the agent is definitely the way to do it.
Yeah, and I guess I can break this down a little bit because we're here. We're a community. We're a podcast community here. I got two big targets that I've got. I don't know what the timeline is on this. Chris Pratt, you know, who people know from Jurassic World, Guardians of the Galaxy for Crystal, I Am Groot. He was a high school wrestler in the state of Washington, was a state place winner. I've reached out to his agent. His representation team got back to me extremely quickly and said he's basically shooting through the end of the year. You're probably not. I said, hey, I'll reach out every couple of months and see what we can do because, you know, there might be a gap. I explained what it was. I sent him the links to the Modine interview. I sent him the links to Mario Lopez. So that's conversation started. And the other one is Maynard James Keenan from Tool. For those who are rock fans, metal fans, he was a wrestler in Michigan. His dad was a wrestling coach and as extremely reclusive as that guy is. That's one, you know, the athletic director or principal at his alma mater's high school, friends with the family. He did a wrestling clinic up there a couple of years ago. And that's a hard get. That's something that I'm not going to rest until I eventually get it. If I get a no, I can, okay, fine. Because, you know, Maynard's kind of that guy, but those are my two big gets that I'm working on. Hopefully by the end of 2016, but Maynard's going to probably be a little tougher than Chris Pratt.
You know, you brought up a good point about getting guests and these big name guys. Sometimes you have to be flexible. Stay with it. You know, Chris Pratt, it sounds like he's going to probably want to join you and talk to you on that podcast. It's just he's not readily available. Just stick with it. Keep asking. You know, as long as you're not being annoying, as long as you're being respectful, there's no reason why you can't send a follow-up email like you mentioned 2 months later down the road.
Yeah, there's the only people I really get annoyed with is the WWE because – I have a media contact with them because there's a lot of former collegiate wrestlers in there. And there's people I know. I have their cell number. I could call them up right now. I can't do it. I can't go to Chad Gable, a.k.a. Chaz Betts. He was an Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler in London. You know, he's got to go through media training. And the contact I get, I'll send a note, be like, hey, and I won't hear anything. And it's just frustrating. And it's not until I get this close to pretty much putting him on blast that I get a, hey, we're sorry. Anything you need? Here's some tickets. I'm like, I don't want tickets. I'm not a mark here. I want to interview one of my buddies on my show.
And Nick and Corey, I know you two can speak to that more when it comes to talking to guests. Going through the team can be the most tedious and most painful thing you'll ever go through trying to get a sports, you know, an athlete, because the teams are just not helpful. They're there to serve their media partners first and foremost. And if you're not one of them, you're not getting that guy through the team. It's always, you got to go through the agent.
Well, I know Corey has a great relationship with the Cubs. My show, Inside the Jungle, is about the Cincinnati Bengals, and I have zero relationship with the Bengals. They do not recognize me whatsoever. And so I've attempted to get players on the team. I've emailed the media relations staff and just was zero luck. You're right, Jay. It's because we're not part of their media partnership. We've tried getting media credentials to cover the team, and because we're not traditional media, again, no dice. So, but Corey, you've got a great relationship with the Cubs, and they're on board with what you're doing, too.
Right. And I think things are changing. I think one thing to look at to know whether or not they're interested in working with podcasters and new media content producers is to look at their social accounts. And if there's certain teams that are kind of on the leading edge and as far as being creative with how they run their social and everything, that's probably a good sign. And this last offseason, the Cubs actually invited me up into the front office. And so I got to, you know, meet some of the, I didn't get to meet Theo Epstein, but that's all right. Maybe next time. I got to meet some of the front office and everything and, with some other bloggers and podcasters that were there. And one thing that they, said to us that really stood out and kind of told me that they see things differently is they said, you know, the beat reporters and the columnists and everything in Chicago, like that's where the news is broken. But blogs and podcasters, that's where the discussion happens. And they said they wanted to be, they know that's where the discussion happens, and they wanted to be a part of that. They didn't want to influence us, but they wanted to give us some access to, you know, kind of be able to speak about things with a little bit of information. But one thing too that is a little bit different with baseball is with baseball, you have this entire minor league organization of teams that are desperate for attention and desperate for any sort of buzz. And so that's where, like with the Cubs, we've had a lot of luck working with the minor league teams, because they're always, I mean, look at the different promotions they run. They really want people in those ballparks because they don't get a lot of money from the major league teams. They're really operating, you know, on a tight budget. And so they want as much attention. They want as many people coming through the turnstiles as possible. And so they're really easy to work with. The media relations managers with the different minor league teams. And that's how we've been able to get interviews with some of the Cubs prospects. They were prospects at the time, but guys like Javier Baez and Kyle Schwarber, we were able to interview them because that's attention. Even if it's somewhat spread out across the country, they know that there's people in those areas that listen to our podcast. So that's one way to go about it. And I realize that's a little bit tougher for the other sports that don't have that built-in minor league organization.
But that's a good point. When you're talking to minor league players and you build that relationship before they even make it to the majors, when you make that ask when they're already a major league player, they already know who you are.
Right.
So that they feel comfortable and they'll come on your show. You know, the other thing is also, you know, you can shoot for the stars. Go right ahead. Go ahead and ask for A-Rod. You're not going to get him.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, go for that, you know, lesser known guy, the guy that you really like, the lunch pail dude who doesn't get a lot of attention, but maybe is just on the cusp of being, you know, a superstar or is going to make that next tier where, you know, you can mention his name and some people will be like, oh, I know that dude. Those are the guys that you really want to target. Offensive linemen in the NFL.
Right.
Those are the guys that you want to you want to get on a podcast.
The Stephen Neals of the world, Jay.
Exactly.
Well, and that's a good thing too, because, you know, for those of us that don't come from a broadcast background, it's a really good idea to practice on players that, you know, like my first player interview was with Javier Baez when he was like 19. So he was as nervous about the interview as I was. And that was just a great opportunity to kind of figure out how to interview people like that. Jay, you're probably a lot more experienced with it, but, That's something too that kind of practicing on lesser known players is a good thing. And it's really nice that when they do become big players, you can point people back. Oh, Javier Baez just made his debut here. Go back and listen to our interview with him. So
it's a good idea.
Yeah. I also want to chime in here too. Sorry, Nick. I want to pitch this towards Nick a little bit because, you know, and now he's doing high school football on the radio. And, you know, you talk about using the offensive lineman in my sport. I have the opportunity to know these athletes, usually from the time they're like a freshman in high school on through college. I did an interview, actually my show that's going to release on Friday is with a guy, David Taylor, who's a two-time national champ at Penn State. My Throwback Thursday picture of him was the first interview I did with him when he was a freshman in high school, St. Paris Graham in Ohio. He was a 98-pound freshman, and he had just won this big tournament. So that was 10 years ago, and now he's a senior-level athlete. He's gone through college. He's gone through to try to make that Olympic team. So when we sat down for this interview, initially we were thinking 20 minutes because we were at like a, you know, it was a sponsorship function and whatnot. And because I'd had, you know, built that rapport over 10 years of knowing this kid and who's now, you know, he's an adult, and it's just, you know, to see him progress from 103 pounder to now he's moving up to 189 pounds for the next Olympic cycle. And, you know, you don't get that 40 minutes straight off the bat with a first timer typically. I had to be, you know, I know David's family. It's some of those things. So when you get to know these kids young, like, you know, Corey's talking about, you know, 19-year-old kid, he's going to remember that because the worst people to interview in all of sports to me, and I've covered a bunch of them, it's not just wrestling, is the freshman. The high school freshman that's never done an interview. And then you get to the guy that might have been a superstar in high school And then they get to college. They're freshmen again. They're not necessarily media savvy. So it's a time for you to get to learn your craft, and they get to learn their craft. I know some schools, like in college, don't allow freshmen to be interviewed. At Oklahoma State, for example, Steve Mako, who was a national wrestling champion there, he had a year of eligibility to play football left. No first-year interviews at Oklahoma State. So Steve, his opportunity to talk to the media was limited by the Sports Information Office. But, you know, if you're out there and you're doing a podcast, and especially with sports here, because this is what this hour is about, you know, practice does make perfect. I didn't just jump into broadcasting when I was in PA announcing when I was 14 years old, and I didn't know it all. I definitely, you know, I had the ire of you know, Blaine Taylor staring me down at ODU press conferences when I was in college, or say something in a question, have Wendy Larry staring me down, or dear, you know, deal with all the athletes at Old Dominion. I asked a question to Gino Auriemma one time at a press conference. I got a funny look. Give me a great answer. But, you know, I'm now smarter because of how to frame a question with somebody that's a Gino Auriemma or a freshman wrestler. The same type of mindset. So, you know, getting those athletes early really does help, you know, build that repertoire, but that rapport with building a rapport with the athlete down the line is amazing. Cause like I said, I get interviews with people, other people get them for 7-8 minutes. I get them for 35 and 40. And that's not because I have a lot more questions. It's just cause that rapport. And, you know, like, you know, Corey says, you get that Javier Baez. If you know, if you struck it, you know, a great rapport with him, and then who knows, he might, you know, if you get a relationship, it's like, hey, he's texting you some info, and all of a sudden he becomes a regular guest and things like that, that can really make your show take off.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking sports here on the International Podcast Day stream here at Blab. I am Nick Suberling, hanging out, obviously, with you can read Jason Bryant from Matt Talk Online, Corey Finneran from IVNV.com, and Jay Soderberg from Blog Talk Radio, and a number of podcasts, the Next Fan Up podcast there at BTR. And of course, he's showing off his New England Patriots Champions hat. Okay, we get it. You see that awesome Carson Palmer jersey behind me? Okay. Anyway, we did get a good question in here from Chris Nessie. He says, would a show like yours, he's talking about my Inside the Jungle podcast, I think, NFL-based, get more attention if it was negative? And that's a good question, Chris. Corey, I'm going to start with you on that question, because the Cubs have been brutally awful in your 7 years of doing the show, until this year, obviously. But you made it a point to stay positive with the team. You really never were hateful or negative toward the Cubs, even though you had every right to be as a fan. But you kept things positive, and you kept it lighthearted.
Right. Well, and I think part of that was because right after we started, we got a new front office. I mean, the first couple of years, things were pretty ugly. But then we got a new front office, and they kind of went through an entire rebuild. And I was on board with that right away. And so that's one reason that we weren't really negative. Plus, I don't feel I know with some sports podcasting, and it's a formula that works, is to have kind of that tension in the show. And, you know, you see it all over the place. That's something we never really bought into, because I always wanted to just be myself, and I wanted to say what I actually thought, and I didn't want to take angles that I didn't really agree with. And it's part of just that being authentic and really just being regular people. And so I wasn't negative. My co-hosts weren't negative. We were on board with the rebuild and everything. And so, I mean, there are different times we're negative. There's certain players we may kind of be negative with, but I'm not a person. I try not to be negative in real life. And so I don't really see a point on focusing on that stuff. So I don't know. And I think that the negative Cubs fans out there, surprisingly, I don't know if you guys could believe this or not, but there are Cubs fans out there right now that are just miserable. and I don't get it. It's so
not hard to believe at all, Corey. Not hard to believe. Nope.
Well, this season, you should not be miserable. Just
right.
But so I don't know. Those people aren't going to be attracted to our podcast anyway.
Well,
so
well, they're miserable because they know they're going to lose to the Mets. The Mets are more down than the Cubs.
Oh, wait a minute. But wait a minute. Let's see. We played 7 times this season, and the all Cubs right. won all scoreboard. 7 games.
Scoreboard. No. Corey, what's going to happen is they're all going to be like the fan in Major League 2, which is the only acceptable reference for Major League 2 ever in any sports. But yeah, oh, they're going to blow it in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen.
So in regards to Inside the Jungle, my Bengals podcast, I've been doing the show now for a little over 5 years, and I went into the show with the attitude of never being negative and being that positive Bengals fan. One, because you never know who's listening. What if somebody in the front office is listening to the podcast? Then I've burned my bridge with the team, you know? So for me, I've always been 100% positive. After the first season of our show, there was a chance that our head coach was going to be fired, and I actually supported keeping him around, and sure enough, he's still around. So, you know, that was at that point, it was a hard stance. There was absolutely zero chance that the head coach was going to stick around, and then lo and behold, he did. So I'm glad that I stayed positive. Not that that's really that big of a deal.
But you don't like sugarcoat things. I mean, you're actually...
No.
Right.
Yeah, I'm critical when it's deserved, but I'm not like bashing them at every single instance. Like there are some websites out there about Bengals that are just, that's all they do is bash the club.
I wouldn't, on our show, for instance, we're by the fans for the fans. So we want a real natural opinion about what's going on with your particular club. And sometimes that opinion is just straight out, the guy's got to be fired. The guy's got to be cut. And that's what I want. There is a fine line between what you're talking about, just bashing a team for the sake of bashing them and for being negative, just for the sake of being negative, and actually offering up an informed opinion that is based on what you see on the field and is fueling your passion for that particular team. If, right. If there's a guy out there that's just, you know, dogging it. Perfect example here. Earlier this year, I think it was just last week. The weeks, they're melding together already. But Cam Newton had one of those plays where he flipped head over heels into the end zone. And at the press conference, he was just really cavalier about everything, just sort of like, And I said to our super fans, I said, you know, my problem with Cam Newton isn't that he isn't talented. He's clearly talented. My problem with Cam Newton, it doesn't look like he takes this seriously. It doesn't look like he puts in the time. If he put in the same amount of time as a Tom Brady, as a Peyton Manning, he could be the greatest quarterback we have ever seen. But he gets by on his natural ability, and he gets, you know, he gets a few wins, and he gets the team so far. Now, our super fan took great exception to what I had to say about Cam Newton and tore me a new one. But, ultimately that's sort of what I'm talking about when it comes to talking negatively about a team, something that I'm seeing that's based on my opinion and I can back it up with and show them, hey, look at this press conference. You know, I said the same thing about Jameis Winston. Perhaps Jason would have some qualms with that. You know, I saw Jameis Winston a couple weeks ago going,
not a fan.
Oh my God, I was out there playing against Drew Brees, and I'm like, I don't want to see my pro quarterback being all fanboy about the guys on the other side of the field. That doesn't make me feel all that comfortable at the post game press conference with him. Oh my God, it was Drew Brees. I was so starstruck.
Yeah, and I think if you ignore negative things, I mean, if you're just don't talk about those things, I think you lose credibility with listeners and anybody that's finding it. So yeah, I don't think you can just completely ignore it. But I think if there's also those podcasts where you turn them on and it's like, okay, we get it. This is heading in the wrong direction. You feel that way, but let's, you know, I think you have to find the positive things, but I think you're right, Jay. Like you just can't ignore the obvious things. You have to address those. And I think that you can do those things without the overall like tone of the podcast being negative.
Yeah. I want to go back to our first 20 episodes of our podcast. And I want to figure out what it was like when you first started and where you really have come since then. I'm going to start with you, Jay. Obviously, we know you had a big history at ESPN. Did you start podcasting before you were at ESPN?
No. I was the guy that started podcasting at ESPN. So,
and you weren't hosting them. You were producing them.
I was the producer. I was the guy that was sort of giving the hosts the idea about how they should deliver their content and, shaping the shows and building the formats for those shows so that they had an idea of what they were doing. Because the first shows that I was assigned to, I was essentially assigned to be a monkey boy. Just go in the studio and hit the record button, let them talk into a microphone, and then you're going to take that file and give it to somebody on the website, and they'll they're going to post it for everyone to hear. And I was like, all right, that sounds interesting. And then the first guy walked in and he was like, yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I said, that doesn't surprise me. So we worked out a quick outline and sort of developed a format. And then I took that format and I applied it to every other show, changing it up for whatever sport it happened to be. So that's where I started podcasting. So in essence, as a podcast host, have I made it to 20 already? I might have. I don't even know if I've done 20 episodes as a true host yet. So that's an interesting question.
But you did have a radio background, right? If I'm not mistaken, you went to school yes. for first in broadcasting.
Yeah, I was always into broadcasting. I was at the college station at Emerson, where I got a mass communications degree. I worked a little bit for the Christian Science Monitor, which was on NPR at the time. So I've got a little bit of an NPR background as well. And then, of course, 16 years at ESPN. Whoa, 16 years, 16 years. Found out it wasn't his. That's where my background comes from.
All right. How about you, Corey? Your first 20 episodes of IVMV. And you had podcasted before that. But talk about where, sort of, right? Yeah, with Tawny, your wife?
Like a month. That was kind of like the guinea pig podcast. Yeah, we started, and the big way that we changed was that when we started the podcast, we started it because my friends and my coworkers, anytime we got together, we just talked about the Cubs. And I started listening to podcasts, and I thought, well, why don't we have these same conversations just behind microphones? So the idea was that it would be very informal and literally just those conversations that you have with a beer in your hand, standing over a barbecue, that would be what we recorded. As we went on, and in those first 20 episodes, we learned that people were actually going to listen and that maybe we owed them a little bit more structure and actually, you know, owed them a podcast that was put together well and communicated clearly and everything. So we changed quite a bit, because at the beginning, I just thought, hey, we're just going to talk about the Cubs and whatever happens, happens. Then as we started going, I realized, okay, this thing needs to actually be a show that has some organization. And so we've developed quite a bit over the years. And I think anybody that listens to us now would find it hard to believe that we started off like just talking and no real idea where the conversation was going to go or anything. So.
And you've come a long way since that first 20 episodes. Now you've got a playoff team on the horizon and the show's blown up.
Yeah, it's fun.
How about you, Jason, your first 20 episodes, and how did you discover podcasts?
Well, you have to kind of preface it. I'm about 20 episodes in on several shows, but Short Time's the show that I pretty much, that's what I'm going to use. But let me just backtrack. I didn't know what podcasting was when I started my first podcast, if that makes any sense. I've told the story a couple times, but I left the National Wrestling Coaches Association, where I was managing their media website. It's kind of the ESPN.com of college wrestling at the time. It's called Intermat. It still exists, but I left for we were going to try to create the Sports Center College Wrestling. It's a project called Wrestling 411. We were going to be on television. It was going to be on the internet. It was going to be on the radio. So we had to find a radio station that could do live streaming. And we went to Augsburg College, a small Division III school here in Minneapolis, and started recording our shows, used it through Nicecast. It's the first time I'd ever heard what Nicecast was. And basically I was taking the archive and I was calling it archive. I didn't know it was a podcast. The guy who had set up our website, it was a WordPress install, and I wasn't very familiar with WordPress at the time. And I think it was PodPress, I think, was the plugin that was being used at the time. I guess the precursor to PowerPress. And then I, about 3 months into it, I'm like, wait a minute, that's an iTunes logo. Okay, I'd seen podcast in iTunes, but I didn't own a Mac until 2008. I messed with them when I was at the campus newspaper, but and played with the radio there. But then I was like, okay, that's when the first podcast was Wrestling 411, and this was long before I knew Rob Walsh and his 411 with the podcast 411 thing. But those episodes, I'm actually re-releasing those on an archive right now. But that was where I kind of figured out what podcasting was, and I started listening. Periodically, I wasn't a subscriber. I didn't have an iPod. I didn't have any smart devices. I didn't have a Zune. I didn't have an MP3 player. I basically just listened to my music off of CDs. And, actually, I did have an iPod, but I'd never synced it up to my computer. It was just lodged in my car. So that was kind of how I got involved in podcasting. And then when I left that company, I went to USA Wrestling, the national governing body. I started a show called Matt Chat. And that ran about 30 episodes from 2010 to 2012, left the company, you know, obviously family things. I came back to Minnesota where my wife is from. And then I was like, you know, working with Amateur Wrestling News, the oldest wrestling publication in the country. And I started this thing. I was like, all right, what do I call it? And now the first 20 episodes of that show, I wanted to create, again, this is kind of a lot of influence borrowed from ESPN with, I wanted like a 20 for 20 type of update. And I wanted to do it semi-daily. So when you woke up in the morning, here was the previous day's wrestling news, whether it be a big upset, the rankings come out, that type of thing. And then after about, I guess, 50 episodes, the college season ended. And I'm like, well, what do I do now? So I went to an interview. I pivoted there. So my first 20 episodes sound nothing like my last 20. So that's kind of a long story. And then the initial was I was using some headsets that I had for broadcasting, and they just weren't great podcasting mics. They're great broadcasting mics for on site. But, you know, the evolution of podcasting now is kind of what Jay said with getting things templated and having a format. That's how I do my new shows is, all right, here's the intro, here's the outro, here's record, boom, boom, boom. So now I can churn out shows pretty good. But then I go back and listen to my first 20 episodes of Short Time, and I'm like, people listen to this? Yikes.
Sounds familiar. You know, I learned my first podcast was published back in May of 2005. And it was, I go back and listen to that audio, and it is horrendous. No joke, I recorded it with a flip phone on a three-way cell phone call with two of my college buddies. And somehow got it into my laptop to record the audio, and it was bad news. That's for sure.
And I want to interject, Nick, if those who don't know Nick's full story, listen to Podcast Junkies. He talks about a lot of it. That story, it's long and drawn out, more than just the five, you know, the 10 second elevator pitch there. That was a good episode. Just pitching Harry's show there.
Well, thank you. That was a fun episode to do with Harry. It's good stuff. So I'm going to ask you, Jay, your first podcast that you ever listened to, and how did you discover podcasting?
Well, so that was sort of the whole thing that I had to do. So I was brought into the office, and I was told, we need to do this thing called podcasting. And I went, what's a podcast? and nobody knew. And so I started doing research, and it led me to Adam Curry and the Pod Show, and everything that he was doing, the Daily Source Code. I was a big fan of the Daily Source Code as that was going on. I'm still a big fan of the No Agenda Show. I like to hit people in the mouth all the time. So that's sort of where a lot of my research led me, is right to Adam Curry. The other shows that I was listening to at the time, this was back in 2006, by the way. Jason asked that question of me in the column, was Leo Laporte and the Twit Network. They were clearly the ones, basically, if anybody asked what was a podcast, Leo was the guy that was answering the question. And so I was checking out what he was doing and listening to what he was doing. And then I sort of formulated my own ideas as to how this could work in sports, and talked about making a format, making an outline, you know, making sure that whatever it was that we were going to do, we were going to have as much interaction with the people that were listening to the show, because that's what made the podcast special and unique and different than what was being done on radio and television, was having that one-on-one sort of relationship with your listener, even though it's not really a one-on-one relationship, but making those listeners feel like it's a one-on-one relationship. And that was sort of what I strived to do with every podcast host that came into the studio, to pound that away with them. You know, make sure you're talking to your listener, you're not talking at them. And that's sort of where we went from there. That was sort of a long answer. I don't even know if I answered the question there, but
no, you did.
I do like to ramble there.
I'm glad you brought up the talking to your listener, not at your listener. That's a great piece of advice. If you take anything away from this past hour, talk to your listener, not at your listener. Well done, Jay.
Quote it, tweet it.
There you
props,
go.
Props, give him props. Prop bomb.
Corey, your first podcast you ever listened to?
I think the first podcast that I listened to, I found it in the fall of 2005, and it was a Notre Dame podcast. I'm a fan of Notre Dame football. And
not giving you props for that.
It's still around, actually. They've changed their name because they've changed their website affiliations, but it's Irish Sports Daily Power Hour. Still around, and really enjoyed listening to that. And I thought, oh, this is cool. I didn't listen to many sports podcasts right away. I would say the second one that I probably found was, or that I really bought into, was the Don and Drew show. Don Mocelli and Drew Domkus, some of the OGs of podcasting. And I actually learned a lot from them as far as they've done a spectacular job with building a community around their podcast. And they were big influences on me. And that's one of the reasons that community is really important to IVNV. And I would say the most important aspect of it. And I was able to take some of the things that they did and change it a little bit, but really kind of model things after the way that they did it, which I'm not sure if, I mean, you guys might know this. It doesn't seem like a lot of podcast. I think, like, Nick, you have a lot of interaction, live interaction with your live broadcast. But I think a lot of sports podcasters kind of fall into the model from what we see of, from ESPN and the Comcast Sportsnet TV shows. And
sorry, stuff everybody. Like
that. No, but I mean, I think, but kind of going back to what you said, Jay, it's not talking. How did you word that again? I didn't.
Talking to your listeners and not at your listeners.
Right. And I think that a lot of sports podcasters fall into that talking at and not talking to them. And I think that that kind of goes in with building a community. So,
and one way to talk to your listeners is allow them ways to get feedback,
right?
Whether it's, you know, an email address for your show, whether it's, you know, you're live tweeting during sporting events. I happen to use a live call-in system where people can call in and talk and chat. You know, we've got Bengals fans that call in from around the world. We've had a Bengals fan call in from China on Skype. I who would have thought, you know, there's a Bengals fan in China? Really? We don't even have that many here in Ohio, let alone in China. But you're right. But not only that, you're giving them a voice, and now they're able to hear themselves on your show, and then now they're spreading the word to their friends and family, like, check this out. I was on this show, and, you know, after repeated callers that call in, I can bank on them calling in every week. Now they've become personalities on the show. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a lot of fun seeing that growth with Inside the Jungle. Jason, what about you? What was the first podcast you ever listened to?
Probably the first podcast I listened to was called No Holds Barred. And it's a combat sports show by a guy named Eddie Goldman out of New York City. And this was the first show that I had heard that actually discussed wrestling enough. And I'd met Eddie at the NCAA Wrestling Championships a couple different times. And I'd been on his show before. And that was the first show I listened to because he's still on Podomatic. He's been doing it since like 2006. So that was the first one I listened to. The first one I actually ever subscribed to was, other than my own, was actually, believe it or not, Daniel's show, the Audacity Podcast, when I decided to get better at it. I'm like, well, I might want to start subscribing. So right now I think there's like 30 shows about podcasting. Nick, your show, Start, I listened to that quite a bit. Actually, I discovered it after you had kind of, you know, closed up shop on it. But Daniel's show was the first one I subscribed to. But No Holds Barred with Eddie Goldman. He covers combat sports, MMA, grappling, wrestling, you know, various topics. And he's not afraid to be controversial. I mean, he will sit there and call out people because he's been doing this. He's a huge boxing guy. Having that was the first real outlet for wrestling in the podcast format before we started Wrestling 411. So that was the first one I definitely recall listening to, and it was something within the niche.
Ironically, the very first podcast I listened to was Cubs Cast, which was a big podcast right at the start when iTunes first came out. And in fact, I don't even know if iTunes had at that point had even launched the podcast directory on their platform. That's how early on this was. And so from them, I actually learned how to podcast. I learned how to write my own XML code so that I could have a podcast of my own. And they were super helpful with what I was doing back at the time. And I'm not even a Cubs fan, but I listened to see how they do their show. They were doing multiple shows a week, how they were covering the team. And I'd, in the back of my mind, I had always wanted to do a podcast about the Bengals. And I'm glad I came across those guys. They were super helpful. And without that show, I don't know if I would be podcasting today. And they are not around, unfortunately, due to Major League Baseball copyright issues, which, if we had more time in this hour, I would love to dive into that. But of course, we are running out of time. So I just want to ask one last question to each of my guests here. I'll start with you, Jay. The next year of podcasting, what are you going to be doing to help grow the podcast world and grow the ability to explore and teach people how to discover podcasts?
Well, I mean, I'm already doing quite a bit. We just recently started up a new podcast called The Week in Podcasting. While it currently is featuring a lot of our Blog Talk Radio content creators, it has and will continue to feature shows that are not part of the Blog Talk Radio platform. The Vogue podcast right now is our lone example. But we are asking people, if you want your show to be featured on The Week in Podcasting, to send an email to theweekinpodcasting@gmail.com. And we'll look into a show. And if it fits into sort of the way that the conversation is developing, if you don't know what the show is, we feature three different podcasts each week, but it's a show on its own. So it's not just sort of a, hey, go listen to this podcast. It's a show that is talking about topical events, that flows into, you know, content that happened on another podcast. And so we're trying to feature more podcasts, through that. There's a lot of things that we're doing. I would say keep tuned to my social media platform. You know, I'll be talking about a lot of things that we've got coming up. You know, some of the things that I'm not just going to sit here and do an advertisement for Blog Talk Radio, because I could, but I won't. there's a lot of things that we're doing, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to present them to a majority of the podcasting world here in the next few months.
Well, we appreciate you visiting with us for this hour, Jay. If folks want to follow you, where can they follow you?
I'm on Twitter at The Real Pod Vader. I also have a Facebook page. I'm just Pod Vader on Facebook. Nobody stole that before I got onto Twitter. So,
Corey Finneran, how are you going to help grow and educate the world about podcasting in the next year?
Well, I can tell you how I'm going to do it in the next 24 hours. And that's that I'm going to a conference tomorrow up in Chicago, and I'm giving a session on how educators can use podcasting to educate their students. I was actually able to kind of take my hobby in new media content production and podcasting and turn it into a part of my job. I'm in education, and so I will be presenting in front of special education administrators tomorrow. But other than that, I mean, I just, you know, on IVNB, I try to make it clear. I like to promote other Cubs podcasts. I like to kind of show that it's a community, and I would, you know, I've had listeners ask me questions about starting their own podcast. And so I think part of it is just kind of creating that atmosphere where you can kind of be a person that people go to for information, and they know that you're not going to see them as competition, and that, you know, that you would like to spread this podcasting thing to anyone and everyone. So I think that you can really just do it too by the vibe that you give off in your shows.
And if folks want to follow you, where can they follow you at, Corey?
Yeah, I'm at Corey Finneran on Twitter. And if you're interested in the Chicago Cubs, you can follow at IVNV.
Talk about QC Step real quick too, and it's your work podcast.
Yeah, so I work for a program for a special education district. And what we do is we help high school students develop their work skills. And it's all about transitioning from high school to after high school life. And so I produce a video podcast that goes out to the schools that are in our district, but then there's schools around the state and the country that use that too. And it's something that teachers show in their classrooms. It's about 15 minutes, and I'm just going over like pre-employment skills, like interview tips, and just some of those things that teenagers aren't real good at in their employment search.
Good stuff. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy work day to celebrate with us and help us educate podcasters around the world. Last but not least, Jason Bryant, how are you going to educate the world on podcasting? You have 2 minutes.
2 minutes is not enough time, but I just know I want to get more props than Corey does. So I'm going to leave this graphic up here for a minute. No, in all reality, I've, as I touched on earlier in the program about wrestling not being quick to adapt to social media, and you know, we were kind of slow on that. So podcasting, it's kind of been my labor of love here within the sport. That's, you know, we're an internet sport. We don't get headlines on you know, Fox Sports and ESPN. We rare. I mean, we had a 19-year-old win a world championship this year, youngest in U.S. history. There wasn't a blip on that on the national sports radar. So part of getting podcasting and wrestling is building more awareness about the sport. And also adding more programs to my offerings at Matt Talk Online, because, you know, with the niche shows, so I just released Virginia Tech, Old Dominion, and Buena Vista University wrestling shows today. So those, the more schools I get in on this network, the more people that exposes podcasting to. So there's people that were listening to my Virginia Tech show that's the first podcast they listened to, and now they're listening to a couple shows that are outside of sports. So I believe that every show that I add is eventually adding at least one more person to listen to a podcast that wasn't listening to podcasting before. So that's one thing I'm pleased about. So, you know, last year, International Podcast Day, I launched episode 1 of Inside Virginia Tech Wrestling. I launched episode 20 today, 1 year to the day. I'm hopefully starting four more programs within the next month or so. I got some Division I schools looking to do it. So any show that I add to my network, it's something that's something I care about. It's something I think that helps the space. It helps the medium because, you know, like I said, when in a sport like wrestling, it's a niche sport, it's an internet sport. And why not capitalize on the fact that, you know, there's a lot of great stories to be told at various schools that you can use this format to really engage a fan base beyond just tweets and maybe 5-minute YouTube videos. So it's something that the schools are starting to see the benefit of what I offer. And it's something that gives back to the podcast community because, you know, like I said, there were 2 wrestling podcasts 2 years ago. Now there's over 30. So that's what I'm doing.
Good stuff. Where can people follow you real quick?
Follow me at Jason M. Bryant on Twitter. And if you would follow me, I'd appreciate it because right now me and another wrestling guy, he just passed me in Twitter followers. So I need to get back above him. But at Jason M. Bryant is my personal one. I pretty much do a lot of my wrestling stuff on there. But if you're interested in just getting the show updates, it's at Matt Talk Online. And I, you know, Nick, I couldn't go the whole show without at least putting a hat on.
Yep. Awesome.
Who's guys, next?
Appreciate
you. Who could take over the sports? I mean, come on, seriously. Don't we have overtime?
The next up is Yannick.
Extra innings.
Nick, you got to introduce. I mean, you got to tell people where to find you, though.
Yeah, you can find me. I host Inside the Jungle over at CincyJungle.com. I'm on Twitter at Nick Suberling. So if you like the Bengals or if you like the NFL, you can go check us out there. We appreciate everybody tuning in here on this hour. Up next is Yannick, so I'm going to try to get him in here.